Memoirs of the Life and Character of Reverend John Elliott, Apostle of the North American Indians, published in 1822, Chapter 2, The Difficulties Elliott Had to Encounter. More than 20 years had passed from the first landing of our fathers in New England before they seriously turned their attention to the conversion of the natives. The difficulties inseparable from their attempts to establish themselves in a wild country, where the natives were frequently hostile, had fully engaged their cares. In the year 1646, however, the General Court of Massachusetts Colony passed an act for the encouragement of attempts to win over the natives to the faith of Christ. Mr. Elliott entered most readily into these views. In preparation for the undertaking, he had been for some time studying the Indian language with the assistance of a young native who could speak English. This language presented unusual obstacles. The enormous length of many of its words, the constant slow communications of ideas, the harshness of the pronunciation, and its little affinity with the English tongues would have discouraged any but a most determined student. Our readers will stand aghast, says Mather, at a few instances. The words "are lust" are expressed in Indian by a word of 32 letters. NUMMATCHEKODTANTAMOONGANUNNONASH. But this is still outdone by the word KUMMOGKODONATTOOETITEOONGANUNNONASH, where 43 letters are employed to express our question. Footnote. As a matter of specimen of the language, we give the title of Mr. Elliott's Bible. Quote, capital MAMUSSE, capital WNNEETUPANATAMWEUP - BIBLUM God, comma, RUNEESWE, capital NEKKONE, Testament, capital KAH, capital WANK, Testament, comma, capital NASHPE, comma, John Elliott, 4TO, Cambridge, 1680, end of footnote. But the heart of this good man was moved with compassion towards the forlorn heathen among whom he lived, and inflamed with true zeal for the glory of his heavenly master. By assiduous labor he surmounted the difficulties of the strange language, and was able in the course of a few months to speak it intelligently. After some time, by unwearied industry, he became so complete a master of it that he reduced it to method and produced a grammar. Having finished his grammar, he wrote at the close, under the full sense of the difficulties which he had encountered, "Prayers and pains, through faith in Christ Jesus, will do anything. It is to be hoped that other missionaries will be stimulated to exertion by this noble example." Thus prepared, he entered on his labor in the year 1646 and in the 42nd year of his age. His friends and brethren greatly encouraged him in the work, the neighboring ministers undertaking to supply his place at Roxbury while he went among the heathen. But the difficulties that he had to encounter will not appear in their proper light unless the wretched state of the natives be considered. The following account of them is abstracted by Dr. Mather, M-A-T-H-E-R. Quote, "Know then," he says in his usual manner, "that these doleful creatures are the various ruins of mankind. They live in a country full of metals, but these shiftless Indians, were never owners of so much as a knife till we came among them. Their name, or an Englishman, was a knife man. They were in a country where we now have all the conveniences of life. But as for them, their housing is nothing but a few mats tied about poles fastened into the earth, where a good fire is their bedclothes in the coldest season. Their clothing is but the skin of a beast. Their diet has not a greater dainty than a spoonful of parched meal with a spoonful of water, which will strengthen them to travel for a day together. Their physics, except a few odd specifics with which some of them encounter certain cases, is scarcely anything beyond a hot house or a padawa. Their hot house is a little cave where, after they have terribly heated, a crew of them go and sit and sweat and smoke for an hour together, and then immediately run into some cold adjacent brook without the least mischief to them. But in most of their dangerous distempers, a padawa must be sent for. An example, a priest who roars and howls and uses magical ceremonies over the sick man and will be well paid for it when he is done. If this does not affect the cure, the man's time has come and there's an end. Their way of living is infinitely barbarous. The men are most abominably slothful, making their poor squaws or wives to plant and dress and barn and beat their corn and build their wigwams or houses for them. Their chief employment, when they will condescend to any, is that of hunting, wherein they will go out some scores, if not hundreds, and drive all before them. They continue in a place till they have burnt up all the woods thereabouts, and then they pluck up stalks to follow the wood where they cannot fetch home unto themselves. Hence, when they inquire about the English, why came they hither, they themselves very learnedly determined the case. It was because they wanted firing. No arts are understood among them unless just so far as to maintain their British conversation, which is little more than is to be found among the very beavers upon our streams. The division of time is by sleeps, moons, and winters, and by lodging abroad they have somewhat observed the motion of stars, among which it has been surprising unto me to find that they have always called Charles Wayne by the name of Paukunnawaw, or the Bear, which is the name whereby Europeans have also have distinguished it. Moreover, they have little, if any, tradition among them worthy of our notice, and reading and writing is altogether unknown to them, though there is a rock or two in the country that has unaccountable characters engraven upon it. All the religion they have amounts unto thus much. They believe that there are many gods who made and own the several nations of the world, of which a certain great god of the southwest regions of the heavens bears the greatest figure. They believe that every remarkable creature has a peculiar god within or about it. There is with them a sun god, a moon god, and the like. They cannot conceive but the fire must be a kind of god, inasmuch as a spark of it will soon produce very strange effects. They believe that when any good or ill happens to them, that is the favor or anger of a god expressed in it, and hence, as in a time of calamity, they keep a dance or a day of extravagant and ridiculous devotions to their god, so in a time of prosperity, they likewise have a feast wherein they also make present one to another. Finally, they believe that their chief god, Kichan, K-I-C-H-T-A-N, or K-A-U-T-A-N-T-O-W-I-T, made a man and a woman of a stone, who upon a dislike he broke to pieces and made another man and woman of a tree, who were the fountains of all mankind, and that we all have in us immortal souls, which, if we are godly, should go to a splendid entertainment with K-A-U-T-A-N-T-O-W-I-T. But otherwise we must wander about in a restless horde forever. But if you say to them anything of a resurrection, they will reply unto you, I have never believed it, and I never shall. When they have any weighty undertaking before them, it is a usual thing for them to have their assemblies wherein they worship the devil. This was the miserable people which our Eliot propounded unto himself the saving of. And he had a double work incumbent on him, who was to make men of them, ere he could hope to see them saints. They must be civilized, ere they could be Christianized. He could not, as Gregory once of our nation, seize anything angelic to bespeak their labors for their entire welfare. All among them are diabolical. To think of raising a number of these hideous creatures unto the elevations of our holy religion must argue more than common or little sentiment in the undertaker. But the faith of an Eliot could encounter it. Eliot remembered that when what God had done in former days, how at first he caused the cross to triumph over the united exertions of wicked men and devils. He remembered that the commission under which his disciples acted was exceedingly broad. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Indians were as much the creatures of God as the white people. They were situated in his immediate vicinity, and he felt under solemn obligation to declare unto them the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. He was encouraged in view of the promise which the great head of the church made to his servants, who were encouraged to publishing tidings of salvation. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He that made this promise still lived. He still possessed almighty power, and it was as easy for him to convert the savages of the North American forests as the polite, learned inhabitants of Europe. Animated by these considerations, Eliot commended his arduous undertakings. End of chapter 2, having been read by Peter John Parisius.